a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Hope you're having a fantastic day. I know the BYU football program is, now that news has come out that Isaiah Heron is returning to the BYU football program. Let's break that down here in today's episode of Cougar Tracks, and it's always powered by KSLSports.com. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Google Play, Spotify. Leave that 5-star rating and review. It helps out the show a ton. Also, follow me on Twitter, Mitch_Harper, Mitch Harper KSL on Instagram, and follow KSL Sports on all the socials at KSL Sports. So yeah, Isaiah Heron's the big news today. He announced on his social media that he's returning to BYU, and it's for a good cause. He was impacted by the racial injustice that's been taking place in America the past few weeks, and that spearheaded the move for him to go into the transfer portal. So we'll get into that and what it means for the cornerback room in 2020. Also on today's show, going to be ranking the BYU football opponents from easiest to the toughest, from 12 to 1. I'll share my thoughts on who I think is the toughest team BYU will face in 2020. And then finally, the player countdown rolls on, number 71. 71 days till BYU kicks off against Utah, and it's a talented player in Blake Freeland, sophomore offensive tackle who could very well be one of the bright stars along the offensive line for the BYU football program. But again, Isaiah Heron is where we start things off on the show. And last week, Isaiah Heron announced that there was reports that went out that Isaiah Heron entered the transfer portal. I reached out to him, and he confirmed that he was in the portal. And then some of his teammates at BYU were going to social media saying that Isaiah was going to pursue a career at a historically black college or university, HBCU. But on Wednesday, Isaiah announced on social media, his personal Instagram page, that he was coming back to the Cougars. This is what he wrote. Quote, I want to start off by saying thank you to all the historically black colleges and universities willing to give me an opportunity after I put my name in the transfer portal. I also want to thank BYU from the entire football staff to the president. I want to make it clear that my intentions to leave were not because of BYU. This place has been nothing but great to me by providing opportunities and relationships that I'm grateful to have. The reason I wanted to leave was due to the current climate in America in regards to racial injustice and the killing of unarmed black men and women. I felt a historically black college was the best place that I could help tackle these injustices because of the culture and locations of the schools. With a little more time to think, I have made the decision to stay here at BYU. I realize I can have an impact in this state by opening eyes here and help other African Americans in Utah because of the small amount of diversity that's here. I'm looking forward to using my opportunities here to make a positive impact. End quote. What a great statement. Isaiah Heron, a classy guy, always been a good interview too. good dude, good football player, but a good person as well. And when there was talk about scholarship crunch and things like that, I talked about it on Cougar Sports Saturday over the weekend, and that was never the case. There was no scholarship crunch because Isaiah Heron was viewed as a two-deep guy. Now, BYU does have a, quote, scholarship crunch, but Isaiah Heron was not impacted by that by no means. BYU needs players at the cornerback position, and Isaiah Heron is a talented football player. There's no doubt about that, and he's going to be in the two-deep for BYU. Even Elisa Tuiaki noted that he was someone that was coming on in spring football and was going to be a factor in the cornerback room in 2020, but that obviously took a different path when he entered the portal, and clearly it was for a good cause. So it wasn't anything about what BYU did, and it wasn't anything about the football program. It was just a personal feeling for Isaiah Heron, and honestly, I'm glad that's the story that came out, to be quite honest. You know, you didn't want to hear a story of Isaiah Heron was treated poorly or something like that, and he shared a lot of insightful information on his Instagram, social media pages. So Isaiah is back at BYU, and I look forward to the chance to hopefully getting the opportunity to talk with him coming up whenever BYU Football Media Day takes place, coming up, I assume, in the month of July. That's been what we've been told by BYU media relations individuals. And I look forward to that chance to talk with Isaiah because he's got a great story, and he's just a great guy, and he's a good football player, no doubt about it. And Isaiah, you know, rejoins a cornerback room that's, I think, going to be very interesting in 2020. Here's my projected starters for BYU next year. Chris Wilcox, that's a lock. That's a given. Redshirt senior. I think he's going to be one of the top NFL draft prospects for BYU in 2020. D'Angelo Mandel, I think, is going to be the other starter. But I think it could be an or situation with Isaiah Heron. Heron, in his freshman season in 2018, was making plays against the likes of number 6 Wisconsin. You know, only a 2-star recruit coming out of Las Vegas area, Heron made an impact right away and made his presence felt immediately at BYU. So he's going to be competing for time. And then some other individuals that are in the cornerback room include Dimitri Gallo, a senior. Last season, didn't really see much time. He just really didn't get his footing much. Arrived late in fall camp, and just last year was kind of a wash for Gallo. Now he heads into his final season. Keenan Ellis returns. Jacques Wilson, a junior college transfer. Hayden Livingston got a little bit of time at cornerback in spring ball. He could go back to safety. Caleb Christensen, Micah Harper joins the program. And then also some, you know, Tavita Gagnier, who could go to safety. Kimball Hinstrom might be going on a mission. I'll have to clarify on that. And then Shimon Willis, he could be a guy that goes eventually to safety or even the nickel spot at linebacker. So we'll have to see there on Shimon. So there's a lot of names in the cornerback room, but pretty good personnel, pretty good talent. And Isaiah Heron, getting him back is a big boost for BYU. So Heron comes back, and it's a good story over all around. I'm glad to hear that there was no wrongdoing by BYU. There was, and I'm glad to hear, too, that President Worthen was involved as well in this process with Isaiah Heron. So it means that people are listening, and that's a great thing. I know I've taken the opportunity to listen to stories because I can't relate to guys like Isaiah Heron. I just can't. I'm a Caucasian male. I talked with Yoli Childs. I cannot relate to the trials and the things that they have faced in their life and the way they feel about what's going on in the world today. So I'm glad that BYU was willing to listen and hear out Isaiah's story and give him the opportunity to talk with historically black colleges and universities about maybe going to one of those schools. But he ends up coming back to BYU, and it's a good thing for BYU, and hopefully it's going to be a good thing for Isaiah. And I'm glad that he's coming back to BYU with the intent to use his platform for good. Because, hey, being a college football player, not everyone gets that opportunity, and that's a cool thing. A lot of people dream of being college football players, and when you get that platform, when you get that opportunity, use it for good. And it sounds like Isaiah Heron is definitely going to do that. So I'm fascinated to see what he does to use his platform for good and maybe improve race relations at BYU. We'll see. A lot of great opportunities there. Isaiah Heron, excited to cover the rest of his BYU football career the next 3 years, because again, he's only a redshirt sophomore. He's got a lot of years ahead of him still in this BYU football program. Got to take a break, though. On the other side, we'll get to my rankings of the easiest to the toughest teams BYU will face in the 2020 football season. This is the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. Support our sponsors and the other podcast here on the KSL Podcasting Network. So I teased it on the previous segment. My rankings of the easiest to the hardest opponents for the BYU football program in 2020. I put out a piece on KSLSports.com, and you can see the full list up there on the website. But here's my rankings from 12 to number 1, 12 being the easiest, number 1 being the toughest. So number 12, that's easy, North Alabama. Look, I'm done, honestly, with the FCS game. I want it to be gone from BYU's schedule. I really do. I think I can speak for all of you that no one wants to have the FCS game. But, hey, as an independent football program, you're probably always going to have an FCS game if you're not named Notre Dame. That's just what it is. Hopefully, BYU can get to a point in their scheduling that they don't need a North Alabama to appear on the schedule in late November. But that's what it is. And BYU, though, it's a guaranteed win. And with this schedule, how difficult it is, maybe you need that little bit of a breather from the FCS ranks. It's just kind of a meaningless game, though, because no matter what, BYU's going to win. They're 13-0 all time against FCS teams. They're going to crush North Alabama. It's just kind of a pointless game. But hey, I then kind of take a step back and go, I would rather take 10 games between BYU and North Alabama rather than a canceled season due to the pandemic. So I got to be grateful. I'm not going to complain. So number 12, though, is North Alabama. Number 11, Northern Illinois. October 24th at Bridgeview, Illinois. It's going to be at an MLS stadium. Very interested in to see what Northern Illinois becomes at this point of the season. They could be much better than their preseason prognostications indicate, but I don't expect that to happen because they lost two of their top defensive players to graduate transfers this spring and a pair of guys that went to Iowa. So Northern Illinois is not going to be as good as they were a couple years ago, but honestly, they weren't that great 2 years ago, and BYU lost to them. And hey, last year, BYU lost to a bad Toledo team. So BYU has not done well against back squads the past few years. That's got to get right in a hurry. No more of this losing to the MAC teams. When you talk about taking care of business and winning the games that you should take care of business in, Northern Illinois on October 24th is one of those games. It should not be a debate. BYU should roll. They should breeze. That's been the challenge of the Kalani Sitake era, is not taking care of business in the games where BYU clearly is better as far as a program, has more resources, has better recruiting, but yet they're finding ways to lose those games. That can't happen anymore going forward in the Kalani Sitake era. Number 10, Utah State. I'm not high on Utah State at all, but I do think they're going to be a little bit better than Northern Illinois. I think Henry Columbia at quarterback, he's not bad. He's a good athlete. He's going to be the guy that replaces Jordan Love at QB, but I must say Gary Anderson's second stint up in Cache Valley is not going well. Not at all. And honestly, I think there's a lot of questions now going forward if Gary Anderson was the right hire at Utah State. Because remember, after Matt Wells left, there were reports that guys like Rich Rodriguez, some really good names in college football were linked to the Utah State job. But Utah State wanted to get a guy in Gary Anderson who they knew would probably not leave the program, because I don't think Gary Anderson wants to leave again. I think he's pretty comfortable being back in Logan. And honestly, I think he looks back and thinks he should have just stayed in Logan to begin with. He left for Wisconsin, then went to Oregon State, and saw kind of the real college football world, that it can be pretty harsh. It can be a rough world in college football. But he comes back to Logan, and the Aggies last year with a first-round quarterback go 7-6. And last year when BYU took on the Aggies, BYU was clearly the better football team, and Utah State was a favorite. Remember, the Aggies were like a two-point favorite in that game against BYU, and BYU crushed them by a score of 42-14. So I'm not sold on Utah State at all, and I think we're going to see BYU take clear control of the rivalry once again. And I'm comfortable saying that Utah State's a rival, because it is. I mean, you see the players in motion when they get that wagon wheel. That's now a thing. Before the wagon wheel in the 90s and the 80s, it was not a thing. BYU just showed up, crushed the Aggies like they always did, and honestly, I don't think the wagon wheel ever left the football offices at BYU. I don't think it did, because I don't recall back in like 96 seeing players hoist up the wagon wheel up in Logan. I bring that game up because I was up there. I don't recall that. But last year, it meant something because BYU had lost back-to-back years against the Aggies. They avoided the three-game losing streak. And it's a rivalry. There's a lot of crossing paths in recruiting, and these programs are very familiar with one another. But I think Utah State's trending down, and I think their best days are behind them for the foreseeable future, unless Gary Anderson gets this thing turned around in a hurry. But I don't see that happening. Number 9, San Diego State. San Diego State's confusing to me. They got an elite defense. It's nasty. I remember Aaron Roderick, after BYU lost to San Diego State, it was in bowl prep leading up to the Hawaii game, and Aaron Roderick talked about San Diego State's defense on par with Washington's. That's pretty high praise, because Washington's defense, as BYU fans are well aware, the last 2 years, they were pretty good. Jimmy Lake had a squad up in Montlake, and Rocky Long, his 3-3-5 scheme on Montezuma Mesa was fantastic last year. And now Brady Hoke steps back into the head coaching seat of the Aztecs. Remember, he was there in the late days of the Mountain West for BYU, 09, 2010. There was a controversial game in 2010. No BYU player remembers that stuff on the current roster. Like, no one cares about that now. But revenge is going to be on the mind, I hope, for BYU when they square off against San Diego State on November 14th, because last year's game against the Aztecs, that was one of the worst games I've seen BYU play last season. And BYU, the last few years, has played some duds, as I've mentioned. 2017 LSU, 2017 Portland State, 2017 Mississippi State, basically the entire 2017 season, 2018 Washington, 2015 Michigan. I can go on and on. In recent memory, there's been some horrid games by BYU, and I put San Diego State game last year next in line, bunched up with those. That was a bad performance. BYU lost 13-3, and they had everything in front of them to get that eighth win to close out the regular season as an 8-4 team heading into bowl season. But they squandered that opportunity, so now they got revenge opportunity coming up on November 14th. But I got the Aztecs number 9. Their offense, there's still a lot of questions. I think it's a bottom-of-the-barrel offense in the Mountain West Conference, but that defense could carry the day. And as they've proven, they can only score 13 points and still win a game by 10. It's a luxury that not many programs have in college football, but San Diego State does. Number 8, the first Power 5 team checks into my list, Michigan State. So much newness with Sparty that I don't think they can really go any higher. Mel Tucker comes in from Colorado, gets the big $5.5 million payday. And what's crazy is that we're entering the month of July, and he's yet to have a practice with his team. And BYU plays Michigan State in week number 2. Look, Michigan State is going to probably be, by season's end, a very competitive football team, but I don't see them going to a bowl game. I think they're a 4-win team maybe this year, but I think that's understood with how late Mel Tucker took the job, and 2, the COVID-19 pandemic rocking everything. teams that don't have continuity, particularly at the coordinator spots, the head coach, and quarterback, which is something that Michigan State does not have at offensive coordinator, head coach, and quarterback, it's going to be a long year because the pandemic shortened everything. Michigan State checks in at number 8. Number 7. This is the team I felt could be a top 5 team that BYU faces this year. I really believe this. But I put them at 7 just because they got to prove it, though. They didn't do much last year in the opportunities with the youth movement, but that's Houston. The speed, the athleticism of the Cougars, it's going to be a good team. October 16th in Provo, a Friday night tilt, probably going to be nationally televised. Man, that's going to be a good that's going to be a good football game. Houston took the unconventional approach last year in year one under Dana Holgorsen to redshirt a lot of their upperclassmen after they started 1-3. But I think that long line of thinking, that long-term thinking, could pay off because I think the Cougars in red could be due for a huge turnaround this year. They also have a lot of Power 5 transfers that sat out a season ago. They're now eligible. Houston will be, I think, an 8 or 9 win team this year. They could be undefeated. If they get by Washington State and Memphis, two back-to-back road trips early on in the schedule, they're going to be undefeated when they come into Provo if they can get by those two teams. So Houston, I think, is going to be, by season's end, one of the best team BYU faces. But I think for now, I got them checking in at number 7. Number 6, Stanford. Now, this was a team I thought about putting lower, maybe towards the threshold of where Michigan State is at. But I think that Stanford will have a little bit of a bounce back as well. Last year, Stanford was 4-8, and BYU also plays them at the end of the regular season. So anything that happened last year is completely a moot point when BYU squares off against the Cardinal. November 28th, the regular season finale. That anything in 2019 is a far distant memory at that point of the regular season. But I think the best days of Stanford football are behind them. I think David Shaw, the best he can probably do at this point with that program is probably 8-4, maybe. I don't see the 10-2, the 11-1 seasons coming up anytime soon for the Cardinal. I don't think they're going to be knocking on the door of the playoff anytime soon like they were a few years ago with Christian McCaffrey. I mean, you think about Stanford football over the last 10 or so years, Toby Gearhart, Bryce Love, Andrew Luck, Kevin Hogan, they've had good players at both quarterback and running back. Just hasn't been the case last year. Davis Mills comes in. He's the full-time quarterback now. KJ Costello was the full-time QB last year. He grad transferred to Mississippi State. I think Davis Mills is going to be a better quarterback than Costello, so that's an upgrade there. But still, their running backs, it's a far cry from the days of Bryce Love, Gearhart, and, of course, Christian McCaffrey. So Stanford at number 6. Number 5, Missouri. And again, this list highlights the depth in the schedule. I mean, I'm talking about these names, and Michigan State at 8, Stanford at 6. There's so much depth in this schedule. It's the first time BYU has played an independent schedule where you're talking about 10 or 11 games could be potentially toss-ups. I don't think it'll play that way. I think there's going to be some games where BYU's clearly the underdog or BYU's clearly the favorite. But a lot of these could be, you know, 55% win probability. They could be clearly toss-ups. There's so much depth in the schedule. Number 5, Missouri, is a team that's kind of like BYU, where I think they take a step forward with a lot of young personnel a season ago. They only won 6 games. Got a new quarterback, new head coach. But I think that they've had a lot of young players playing the past few years. Now it's time for them to take a step forward, even with a new head coach. And I think Drinkwitz, I think his up-tempo spread attack with Sean Robinson, a former TCU transfer quarterback. I think Missouri could be a bowl team, eligible team again. I think they could be a 6-7 win team. SEC is just so tough, and they have a tough schedule. But I think that's going to be a really good matchup for BYU. BYU could be an underdog in that one, wouldn't be surprised. And Missouri's going to have one of the nastier defenses BYU will see this season. Number 4, Utah. Now, based on emotions, this game is number 1 because of the rivalry element. But look, you look at the personnel, you look at what Utah lost, you look at the placement of the game, first week of the season. If there's ever a year, this is the year for BYU to beat Utah. 9 new starters on defense. They do get Max Toupai back, which is a big boost for Utah, getting him back along the defensive line. But a lot of questions in the secondary, a lot of questions at quarterback. I mean, I'm telling you, if you can't beat Utah this year, BYU, I don't know when you're going to beat them. Seriously, you look out this year and next year before you take a 2-year break. And after the 2-year break, you're getting to year, what, 2024? That will have been 15 years removed from the win in 2009. You've got to get a win. You got to do it in a hurry, BYU, or else you might be going on 2 decades without a win against Utah, potentially. You can't let that happen. Utah's got talent. They're going to have more athletes than BYU. There's no doubt about that. Because I think guys like Clark Phillips III, they're going to step in day one and be really good at cornerback. But BYU's got to capitalize on the youth. And also the biggest unknown is Morgan Scally. What happens with Scally? That investigation is still ongoing based on text message that he sent allegedly to a student athlete that ended up going to Utah. But what happens there? If some of the other allegations from Ryan Lacy, Sean Smith, Dominique Hountfield, if those prove to be true in this investigation, if Scally's gone, that plays a big role in BYU's chances of potentially winning this year, because Scally is a huge piece to Utah's operation. And if he's gone, you got to think Kyle Whittingham then steps in as the defensive coordinator, unless he gives the reins to Sharif Shah. But Sharif Shah's never called a defense. That'd be his first game. Again, there's so many unknowns with Utah that this is a great opportunity for BYU to maybe get the Utes and end the 9-game losing streak. But I think their personnel is a step back from some of the other teams that I'm going to talk about in the top three. Number three, Arizona State, within the same division as Utah, the Pac-12 South. Arizona State has shocked me. Herm Edwards, I thought when he got hired, I think I was saying on previous radio stations, I thought there's a good chance he might get canned before BYU plays Arizona State in 2020. I thought, what was Arizona State doing? Hiring a coach that hasn't been coaching in college football for nearly 20, 25 years. Hadn't coached in the NFL for nearly a decade. But it has worked out nicely. And now ASU's got Jaden Daniels at quarterback, one of the best QBs in college football. They've got some new coordinators, which will be interesting to see how that works. Zach Hill comes from Boise State over to ASU. That's always an adjustment period. And then also defensive coordinators, Marvin Lewis from the Bengals, which is a nice hire. And then Antonio Pierce gets promoted from linebacker coach to co-DC. So ASU is kind of like a mini NFL operation out west, and it's working. And I think Arizona State is primed and ready to potentially win the Pac-12 South. I think they are the biggest competitor to USC to win the South Division in 2020. So that game on September 19th in Tempe, that'll be a really good test for BYU and see where they're at to potentially stack up against a really good Pac-12 team. Number two, Boise State, takes place November 6th in Boise. It's a Friday night game. Look, Boise State's good. They're always going to be good. They're going to probably be an 11-win team at least. Hank Bachmeyer is one of the better quarterbacks BYU will face this year. Last season, BYU did not face Bachmeyer. It was Chase Cord who stepped in for Bachmeyer. And BYU got the upset win in a game that featured backup quarterbacks. Baylor Romney, of course, started that game for BYU. But BYU has yet to win on the blue turf. There's been so many close calls, but they just can't get it done. And is this the year they break through? It's going to be tough, but one thing that's going to be interesting for Boise is they got to replace a lot of personnel on their offensive and defensive line. So, but by the time BYU faces them in November, don't be surprised if Boise is undefeated, nationally ranked, top 15, top 20, and BYU is trying to knock out a team that's the likely favorite to go to the New Year's Six on behalf of the Group of Five. And number one, Minnesota. Never would have thought this, but Minnesota is going to be the toughest team BYU faces in 2020. Tanner Morgan, remember the name, quarterback. He's really good. Probably going to be one of the better quarterbacks BYU sees this year next to Jaden Daniels. Minnesota last year won 11 games, the first time they've done that since 1904. Row the boat. Sky U Ma at Minnesota. PJ Fleck is rowing that boat. And they're doing good things, and they might be the biggest threat to Wisconsin in the Big Ten West this year. I don't see Minnesota slowing down. it's going to be a little bit of a different dynamic for them when they're now kind of the hunted team. They're now a known commodity. People are more aware of them. There's now expectations because last year they caught everyone off guard. They were picked sixth in the Big Ten West and then pulled off an 11-win season. A little bit tougher when everyone's talking about you, but Rashad Bateman, one of the best wide receivers in college football, he was a Biletnikoff Award finalist a season ago. This will be a very hard game for BYU. And you got to think, too, it's going to be the fourth game in 4 weeks against Power 5 competition. That's never boding well for BYU. That fourth game is always brutal. And then it could be a 10 a.m. Mountain Time kick, maybe. Is the Big Ten, they usually play a lot of noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central time kicks. Could be a 10 a.m. Mountain body clock game. That's tough. So we'll see what happens there, but Minnesota will be a tall, tall order for BYU because of the logistics. So many tough games, and then Minnesota's just a darn good opponent as well. They're going to probably be a preseason top 25 squad in 2020. But that's my rankings from easiest to toughest. Tell me what you think. You can tweet at me, at @Mitch_Harper, and go read the full article at kslsports.com. Before we get out today, got to give you the player countdown update, number 71. 71 days till kickoff between BYU and Utah. And number 71 is Blake Freeland, an offensive tackle out of Harriman High School. And man, what a revelation he was. 6'8", 300 pounds, a sophomore. His first action as a college football player, as ever in the history of his football career, his first ever game action as an offensive lineman came in BYU's win against Boise State, undefeated Boise State and nationally ranked number 14. Blake Freeland got his first career start in that game and never looked back the rest of the way. Now, Freeland had some games where he wasn't graded highly, but when you factor in, you're talking about a guy that was once a quarterback, just an overall athlete at Harriman High School. I don't know what they do at Harriman. I talked about it yesterday with Fisher Jackson and Harris LeChance. I don't know what goes on at Harriman High School, but they create these freak human beings. Freeland was a guy, if you remember, coming out of high school, three-star prospect, had it down to BYU in Utah, was a longtime BYU commit, but it got a little bit tense down the final stretch between the Cougars and the Utes. Ultimately, he signed with BYU, and it's working out now, and I think that he's going to be a cornerstone to what BYU does on the offensive line. I really thought with a full spring football, there would have been maybe opportunities for competition for other guys to maybe knock Freeland off maybe, or make him kind of earn it again. But I think now with a shortened spring ball and it's going to be a mad dash to kick off, they're going to go with continuity. And Freeland's going to be that starter at right tackle. And hey, I'm excited to see what he can become. I mean, that frame at 6'8", 300. Again, you look at the heights and the weights of BYU's offensive linemen. 6'8", 6'4", 6'5", just huge, humongous human beings. And Freeland is one of the better athletes, along with so many of these guys. But Freeland might be the best athlete in the offensive line room. Very excited to see what he can become in his BYU football career. But he checks in at number 71 in the player countdown as we're 71 days till kickoff between BYU and Utah. And I'll tell you, I cannot wait for that day to come when we see BYU and Utah square off again to kick off the 2020 college football season. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at @Mitch_Harper, @MitchHarperKSL on Instagram, and follow KSL Sports at KSL Sports and check out KSLSports.com. I'll catch you tomorrow with the latest update on the player countdown and an interview with Fessy Satake talking about the BYU wide receivers coming up on the Cougar Tracks podcast. It's always powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Shari's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Shari's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Shari, anywhere you get your podcasts.